Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hello and welcome, everybody. Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We've got 24 and a half more minutes of this here show. We thank you for listening to AFR. Trivia Friday's tomorrow. So you want to join us for that. We'll have some fun and some learning will take place when we do that show tomorrow, Trivia Friday, right here on American Family Radio. So to reset the panel here, Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir.
Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning and afternoon.
What did I just hear? Oh, afternoon. I heard voices.
Oh, no. It's we're having some issues with our
signal. He's broadcasting from the moon.
I am.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Neil.
What happened? Did you have your mic in right?
I don't know.
It happens in all of
I'm learning how to throw my voice.
All right. And Abraham Hamilton III.
Good morning.
Good morning, Abe. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well.
Abe's the host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon on American Family Radio. Easily confused with All Things Considered. If you're going down the dial and you come across Abe in his soothing Mr. Rogers approach to radio, you'll know you've hit the right place.
Does the term 180 degrees?
If you tune in, Abe, at 505, 506, 507.
Central time.
That's the most docile. Most then Abe gets wound up by 5:55. He breaks the meter. Abe, how you doing, my friend?
I'm very calm. Very tranquil.
We're about to change that, I have a feeling.
That didn't work in court though with juries.
I've had my chamomile tea.
Chamomile tea.
For those who don't know, Abe was a prosecutor, and I'm seeing you in court going, and you see that man over there, the defendant, he's guilty of sin.
And he's also a pastor, a preacher. So, and I'm not talking about Episcopalian.
You're talking about Abe's a pastor.
Abe? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm just saying in terms of what you would expect to hear when you're talking about former prosecutor, a pastor.
All right. So here we go. Abe. You didn't hear our show last hour, right?
No, I did not.
Okay, that's unfortunate. But anyway.
I was doing something called working.
Yeah, I understand. Well, we had some very powerful comments last half hour. The question I have before you is, in your years of law practice, when it comes to former President Trump, you were his attorney, would you say yes or no on him testifying? Taking the stand.
I would not advise it. Okay. I would not advise
it. You think that's the approach they'll take?
Ultimately, it's his decision.
So is it always the client's decision?
It's the client's decision whether or not he's going to take the stand. The Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination is personal. So the attorneys can advise. What I mean by it's personal, any person that is accused, they have the right to employ it or to waive it. So attorneys will advise, but ultimately it's the defendant's choice as to whether or not they want to take the stand.
Wait a minute now. Then if President Trump comes, well, I say wait a minute now, just a question. So if President Trump, he said
he's going to testify.
That's what I'm saying. He said yesterday, I'm going to testify. I'm looking forward to it. You're saying you would advise strongly against it if you were his lawyers.
I would.
But it's his choice.
But it's his
choice. So if he declines to testify, that will be his choice.
Yes.
Okay.
Got now, you. He could say, you know, that he, an advice counsel, whatever.
Sure.
Whatever reason. And here's something that people may not understand with the Fifth Amendment. In our system of justice, thanks be to God we have this. It's imperfect, yes, but it's the best thing in the world, that accusations of a criminal nature, defendants can rest with the presumption of innocence. They have no affirmative duty to make any showing whatsoever. All parties charged with any criminal offense are presumed innocent legally. Every judge in the entire country will tell every jury they're presumed innocent. Okay, that presumption stands unless it's rebutted by
evidence.
Evidence
presented by the prosecution.
Exactly. So juries will be instructed that they cannot consider a defendant's employment of their Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination as evidence against them. That cannot be assessed in determining whether or not the party is or is not guilty, are not guilty.
And so, you talked about the United States. In places in Europe, I think France, for example,
opposite.
It's the opposite. You're presumed guilty.
You have
to prove yourself.
That's exactly right.
Are you serious?
That's the absolute truth. In European nations, it's the exact opposite. This is one of the things the founders did. They realized, well, this is how it is over there. And it's still like that in European nations. When you're accused, you have to prove you're innocent. The accusing party can sit back and say, yeah, you did it. Steve did it. Prove you didn't.
Yeah.
And our nation is opposite.
Let me ask you this, Ed told me the answer, but I wanted maybe last half hour, and then Steve, you can have the next question. I know you're not a potty plant over there.
I always enjoy the conversation.
So once you take the stand, like Trump says he's going to, he looks forward to, but you're saying if you're his attorney, you're saying, no, sir, that's a terrible idea.
I would advise him not
to. Okay. So my question is, you can't get up there on a stand in a courtroom and just spout off your own side of a story. He can't get up there and start saying, hey, I'm doing great in the polls. I'm Hillary Clinton. I beat her. In other words, he's subjecting himself to cross-examination, right?
Exactly. And he can't get up there and just talk. He has to respond.
That's what I'm saying. Can he get up there and just start talking about whatever he wants to?
He cannot host a rally on the stand once he's taken his oath to testify. He has to respond to questions. He cannot just talk about whatever he wants to talk about. He can't get up there and say.
He's not used to that.
Exactly, which is part of the reason. The lack of testimonial discipline is one of the major things I would be concerned about if I represented him. Can he control himself sufficiently to respond solely to what is being asked? Or is he going to...
No, he can't. That's why you
it's
don't get up
there. It's a beautiful Mar-a-Lago. Let my documents be beautiful.
All right, go ahead, Steve.
Well, here's the question. If his attorneys cannot talk him out of testifying, can he at least agree with them what questions they should ask him so he can hold his rally?
Well, here's the thing. Well, there are two different considerations there. There will be direct examination. So when he testifies, his lawyers will ask him questions in direct examination. So they will ask questions to aid him in articulating his defense. But they cannot predict what questions the defense will ask. You cannot prescript that. And they have no control over whether or not he gets to say that. In addition to that, when the questions are being asked, the opposing counsel will have the opportunity to object to questions that are deemed legally irrelevant to the issue at hand. So if this is talking about the Mar-a-Lago documents case, and the defense attorneys who are representing President Trump want to ask him questions, well, tell us about what your residence in Bedminster, New Jersey, opposing counsel going to say objection, relevance. What does this have to do with this criminal charge here? This is the matter that's before the court. This is the matter before the jury.
And the judge
will rule on each objection.
Or more likely when he starts to talk about that the 2020 election was stolen.
Objection, relevance.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine him. I mean, unless he's completely delusional, he will not take the stand because his lawyers are going to say, you can't do it. There's nothing's going to be. You're not gonna, Mr. President. You're not gonna be able to do what you think you're gonna be able to do. That's the thing. In his mind, he may think he's gonna be able to get up there and talk about whatever he wants to.
That's the
reality. He can tell the judge, "Excuse me, I'm talking here."
Right. He can't do that.
Well, not that he says excuse me, but he would say, "He would say, I'm talking here, lady."
Right.
Anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The risk of that happening.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about a 77-year-old. Yeah. Man who's always had his way,
right?
And he's used to being the boss. And you put him on a stand, as you said, Ed, where he's not the boss. You're playing with fire right there.
On the one hand, I can see why he'd want to do it. He believes he has a connection with people. This will be a case. Yes. The Mar-a-Lago case will be in Florida.
But that's the one that's on TV. The two federal court cases are not on TV.
I think Georgia's.
Georgia might be. Which is
hilarious. Are we done with this particular issue?
Go.
I wanted to ask. All right. So this is why I've been wanting to ask somebody this, and we have you in. So
you could have called me to your office down the hall. That'd have been.
Yeah.
It's actually easier to get you in here
than to find him in his office.
No, he's in his office.
I know, but
if an attorney's at his computer, I don't want to come in. Hey, I got a question.
Let me before you ask Abe a question. Let me just inform that Abe. Because I've always wanted to do this. As your counselor, you can take the Fifth Amendment if you don't want to answer Ed's question. Okay?
Anything you say can and will be used.
It's not a criminal trial.
I watch Matlock. Yeah. I know what I'm doing.
The only thing the Fifth Amendment protects you from is potential legal criminal incrimination. So if it's a question that has nothing to do that could put me in legal criminal jeopardy, then I can't.
All right, go ahead.
All right. So I want to know what happens. Because next year is
berserk.
It's bizarro world. Okay, so I want to get your take. And to be honest, I'm sure legal, since we've never been down this road before, there'll be legal opinions on all sides. But you're our guy, so I want to ask, what happens if Trump is convicted before the Republican convention? Now, that's probably a political question as to what the Republican Party chooses to do. What happens if he gets the nomination and is then convicted?
Yeah.
And then what happens if he wins the election?
Yeah.
And then is convicted?
Yeah. All of those questions really have more political intonations than they do legal intonations, because the Constitution explicitly and exclusively lays out the criteria for the President of the United States. And it says nothing about a person not being convicted of a crime. Now, how will that impact the electorate? That's a different question, but there's nothing about the criminal legal jeopardy that could legally disqualify him from being on the ballot or even winning the election. It's crazy to think that, but that's the reality.
Related to that, let's say he is convicted and they give him a 2-year prison term. Mm-hmm. What happens if he wins the election? I mean, we're talking about bizarre. But that's a possibility now.
And honestly, that possibility exists on more than one side, because they still have special counsel on Joe Biden's side with his document situation. And who knows where this corruption scandal, all that stuff is going to go. So it's a consideration really across the board. But again, him even hypothetically and potentially being incarcerated doesn't prohibit him. It's not a legal requirement in terms of being a candidate for the presidency or even taking office. It's amazing to consider that.
All right, go ahead, Steve.
Does the name Eugene Debs mean anything to you in this regard? Do you know what I'm talking about, Abe?
Not specifically. I think I know what you're talking
Eugene
about, but
Debs,
I don't want to assume.
He was a socialist that was sentenced to 10 years in federal prison for urging people to resist the draft in World War I. He ran for president from prison. Was allowed to, and in fact got 3% of the vote.
Yeah, because he's not legally barred from doing so. Which is
what if you win?
Right.
What if you win? Do you have do you welcome foreign dignitaries to the federal pen? We're glad to have the German chancellor with us today, and feel free to use the facility in the corner.
Wait, you can't come in. Let me pat you down, Angela Merkel, before you come in the door.
Brings a whole new dimension. Right. It becomes a visit from state.
Let's be honest. That's a Saturday Night Live skit, but that's never going to happen.
And the reality political is, and the founders had a great estimation for the American people. The reason why you don't have those specifications, the founding fathers were very cautious about an overbloated government. And so they had great trust in the American people that should these kind of things occur, that the American people won't place their confidence in the form of a vote in a person who's either potentially going to be arrested or incarcerated, so that these issues have never been brought to the fore and it was never expected to be brought to the fore. But here we are.
Fred, go ahead.
All right. Other question we wanted to ask you was, yesterday, the special counsel, David Weiss,
special in a lot of different ways.
Okay. Saying there's going to be an indictment.
Really?
I guess.
Old Davy boy wants an indictment now.
Sure.
Wow.
Stay tuned tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
Hunter Biden, there's going to be an indictment by the end of the month. There is a, as you have just
demonstrated. Against two for what?
Against Hunter Biden. As you have just demonstrated, there's a good deal of skepticism out there. Is it going to go back? Many people feel David Weiss, he's from Delaware, he's special counsel, he knows the Biden family. What are you expecting in the way of an indictment on this gun charge?
Are we talking about the same David Weiss that was a part of the previous plea negotiations to when the gun charge was going to be submitted to?
Same guy.
Diversion?
Same guy.
That the only reason why there's a conversation about an indictment is that the plea deal that he signed off on previously was rejected by the court?
Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong here, but I don't expect it to be an indictment that is satisfactory to the ends of justice.
Okay.
That would hold Hunter Biden accountable. This is the same David Weiss that intentionally allowed the clock to run out on certain tax charges by, you know, bobbing and weaving the investigators and not even allowing him the evidence. You know, I could be wrong, but I do not expect anything substantive to come out of this indictment concerning Hunter Biden.
Are you then saying Hunter Biden's going to walk?
I don't want that to happen, nor do I think that it should happen, but the possibilities are very high that it could happen, but for some external imposition. This is the same David Weiss who came out publicly previously and said, I have all authority to bring any charges that I want to bring. So then why do you need to be appointed a special counsel if you had all authority?
Yeah, it was for show.
Yeah, and it's a show specifically showing in one direction to protect the Biden family, it seems.
He's got some help, too, David Weiss. Not that he needs it, but James Comer, Kentucky congressman, was on with Fox, and I want to let you hear what he said. Cut 10.
We know Merrick Garland has told the National Archives not to cooperate with us. Our sources at the Secret Service say that Mayorkas called them to tell them to stop cooperating with Comer and the Oversight Committee. So Mayorkas and Merrick Garland are part of the cover-up. These are the two arguably highest-ranking people in the Biden administration.
Cooperate about what? What are they talking about?
In this, well, they're going to probably, I would guess, interfere with any investigation. I know we're talking about the gun charges here, but this was in regard to the document cases.
Oh, okay.
This particular case, but the weaponization of the Justice Department continues, and so they got any help they want. I think it's going to be hard to make anything stick.
Because if we're talking about federal laws, it has to be under the purview of the Justice
Department. Department of Justice.
And the Justice Department under this administration has been weaponized against political opponents, but has been used as a big shield for Democrats, but specifically the Biden family.
I mean, if it weren't but for the whistleblowers who are at the upper echelons of the IRS, the plea deal would have went through. Mm-hmm. You know, you had external independent parties that were sending information to Judge Nareika in Delaware to say, hey, Judge, you didn't know about this information, but this should be considered. But the DOJ had it and didn't share this information with you before. And these guys, and I know we don't want to relitigate a lot of these other things, but these are not like conservatives, whatever. You had, you know, the Ziegler guy who's a Democrat. You know, it's like, but this is so egregious. We've never seen this kind of stonewalling to prevent the same people that say we want to tax the rich, you know, preventing some of the rich from being taxed and lying about paying of the taxes. They're trying to investigate but being prohibited from doing so. And like you said, Steve, that they're getting cover from the upper echelons of the federal cabinet in order to keep this thing under wraps. So to your question, Fred, I'll be pretty surprised if David Weiss all of a sudden is interested in holding Hunter Biden accountable.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of the show on the American Family Radio Network. Tim here with Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Fred Jackson, Steve Paisley Jordahl, and Abraham Hamilton III. Any more? Got more questions for Abe because he's about to start charging us per hour?
Bills in the mail.
Thank you. So's the check.
Thank you, Abe.
The most beautiful check you've ever seen. The believe
check.
Me.
The perfect check.
You're dismissed from court.
Thank you, Abe.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Interesting new poll out, fellas. When it comes to polls, you just believe what you want. If you don't like the results, you just dismiss it as fake news.
It's, okay? It's like favorite flavors of ice cream. You've got a favorite,
well,
and that's the one you're going for.
I here's how people react. A lot of human beings react to polls. If it's a poll that favors their guy or their lady, it's good.
It's a good poll.
It's a good poll. If it doesn't, you can't trust that poll.
Right.
You trust the liberal media? Yes. Come on, man. Yeah, I do. Anyway, this was interesting. I found this interesting. This is from 9/7. Is that today?
Yes, it is.
I'm reading from The Hill. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley is the only GOP presidential candidate who is leading in a hypothetical matchup with President Biden. According to a poll released Thursday, a CNN poll conducted by another firm, she's leading in a hypothetical matchup with Biden. She beats him soundly. Now, Trump is tied in this, basically.
47.
Mm-hmm.
46.
46. DeSantis, governor of Florida, is tied with Biden. 47-47. Let's see. Trump is 1 point ahead. Chris Christie, 2 points ahead. 2 points ahead.
Of Biden?
Ramaswamy is behind by 1 point. Just 1 point. These are very close.
All within the margin of error, except for
these are 50. Haley. These are 50. This shows we are a 50-50 country, as we've known right since back to Hanging Chad days.
Right.
Am I right?
Right.
We've been 50.
Year 2000 election.
But that's, if I'm Nikki Haley, I'm jumping all over this, because this shows what she can say today is that I'm the one who can beat Biden for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, DeSantis may, Trump may, Mike Pence may, but Pence is not going to be the nominee. He's just too far behind. And Nikki Haley, she's way behind Trump too, just like DeSantis.
Right.
But they're both fighting over the people who don't want Trump in the Republican Party. You know, they want an alternative voice. So anyway, I just found that interesting that, You'll see that Nikki Haley will come out today, obviously, and say, "Hey, I can." This poll proves that I can beat Biden.
Yeah, right. She did well in the debate.
A couple of weeks ago. Smart lady.
Yeah, there's the next debate coming up in 2.5-3 weeks.
Yeah,
and if she does well there, you could see more polls with these kind of results.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, guys, we've only got the whole football season to go
until before what could possibly happen
before we even have a vote.
That's right.
In a primary. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today on the program. Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
Ed.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it, Fred.
Good to be here.
Our thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer.
Chris Woodward.
Chris 5'8 Woodward. And nothing wrong being 5'8", 5'9", huh? And also Abraham NPR Hamilton.
Yes.
During this last 30 minutes. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.